You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
David Goss is in my house. I will not let him sit on the furniture.
No.
He's sitting on the floor right now. Yeah. He doesn't get to have a chair anymore.
That's what I'm willing to do.
Hat trick for Deuce. 2 hat tricks in 4 games.
Are you watching the games? Are you just looking at the stats? Modgepodge.
Hodgepodge?
Hodgepodge.
Modgepodge.
Yeah, there's a Modgepodge. Whole Modgepodge of rumors.
This is a transfer Modgepodge.
It is an ungodly mess.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about what I want to say.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York. You are listening to Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental on MLSsoccer.com and Sirius XMFC Channel 85. I am in the green room. I am Andrew Wiebe. I am with Matt, the armchair analyst, Doyle, and Ben, the research bear. Somewhere in Toronto, somewhere in the six, David Goss is either 3 sheets to the wind or being extremely professional, guys. He is in the middle of that Toronto FC victory parade, the 22nd MLS Cup champions. What a weekend for the Reds. Their first ever, the first ever for Canada, the first ever treble, 69 points, a record in the regular season, 20 wins, tied for the most ever. They're in the CCL still, so that's to play for. They're saying, we're not done. We got more to win.
More parades.
I know, but they got it. Oh, a CCL parade? How amazing
CCL
would that
parade
be? We've obviously never seen that. I've got the fever already. I just want you to know that. This show, it's all about Toronto FC. And it's all about the offseason because it's already just going wild. In segment one, we're going to hit Toronto FC, MLS Cup, everything under the sun there. Dave Goss will join us from Toronto where the parade just ended. They're giving speeches. Josie Altidore had an epic speech that we'll give you a little taste of in just a little bit. You'll want to stick around for that one. And then we're going to dive into the offseason because MLS announced that every team has up to $2.8 million, because it's discretionary and targeted allocation money for both 2018 and 2019. Sunday, you might not have known, there's a half-day trade window. It was lit. The free agency list is out. Expansion protection lists are out. LAFC are wheeling and dealing, I expect, behind the scenes right now for that expansion draft at 2 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday, a live show at MLSsoccer.com. And, of course, the Hot Take Hotline is coming up, in which, Ben, you have been compared unfavorably to another guest from our MLS Cup preview show. So save
really?
Save all your vitriol.
I mean, because I usually check the hotline, but
I
haven't checked.
I was happy that you did.
48
it.
Hours.
This is a perfect opportunity for us. Let's get in Toronto. See you guys. Doyle, I'll give you your opportunity to weigh in here. Your thoughts.
Wax poetic.
Yeah. What's it mean? What's it all mean?
It means the end of the discussion for at least 12 months. You know, every year, I think we do this on Extra Time Radio. We talk about who's going to be the best team in the league this year, and can they end up being the best team of all time? And the answer for Toronto FC in 2017 is yes, they can, and they were, and henceforth until someone else comes in and does a domestic treble and maybe wins CCL and goes plus 40 in goal differential, then that team will have their argument, and we can start it all over again. But what this means for Toronto is they won every trophy that they were up for, and they did it in emphatic fashion. They went out there, and they dominated last year's champions. I mean, there was only one team on the field. They utterly dominated a Sounders team that had been ripping teams apart for the better part of 4 months, and it wasn't even close. What it means is all that stuff you're about to hear from Josie and Greg Vanney and maybe Tim Bezbachenko as well. All of what they say is true. They are the best MLS team of all time. That's what this weekend
Tim
was.
Tim Bezbachenko, here's the quote from him. What's all this mean? Someone asked him after the game. Inevitably, that's what people's job are. That's what reporters do. He says it means we're the best ever. That's what it means. Greg Vanney doubled down and he said, you're all going to argue about it. You're going to do your thing. You're going to be out there saying, I don't know, let's quibble. LA Galaxy with Beckham and Donovan and Omar and Keno, were they better? Nah, we're better. We're that team. We're the first with the treble. You were on the ground, Ben. You were in Toronto. You saw
there.
It all go down.
I was
you
in the
felt the you felt was, the just undulations of joy.
I was in the press box thanks to a good friend of the show, Kurt Larson, who is not a fan of the 2014 LA Galaxy like I am.
Oh.
But, yeah, that.
Kurt's a homer. I'll tell that to his face.
If you ask him, he would say that he's not.
Of course he would say that.
Yeah. He always says the wrong thing.
To me, there's no argument. I mean, most points ever, domestic treble. I don't care. You can look at some of the greatest players who've played in this league on some good teams. I personally didn't watch the early DC United teams, but if you talk to people who did, I mean, we were talking to MLS Communications Maven Rick Laws.
He's been around for this whole.
He's been around since day one of this league, and he's like, yeah, you could talk about these teams, but you can't put them on this level for one season like
right.
this Toronto.
And that is a really good point, and one that I think we've reiterated over and over. This is the greatest season of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It may be the best team, mm-hmm. like talent wise, top to bottom.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about the best stretch, the best 2-3 seasons, they've still got some work to do.
Right.
Now, they could have been there already, maybe. 2 straight MLS Cups in this, and then a CCL, and then next year they're saying, look, we're going to be back together. We've got more TAM. I mean, 4 million more TAM coming in, potentially 5.2, because you can push that 1.2 from 2019 ahead to 2018. Tim Bezbachinko
has got, 5.2,
got something to play with here. I want to just put this out there for everybody who's been wondering about it, tweeting us about it. Yes, confirmation, the Extra Time Radio curse is extremely real. It is definitely a thing. All four of us, Sam Satchel, David Goss, Matt Doyle, Andrew Wiebe, we all, you said Seattle too, Ben?
On Monday show.
Oh, my God. We all waded into this thing like idiots and just got absolutely crushed. Matt in Toronto, of course, picked it out. He says, first, you guys are really good at what you do. Yes, go on, Matt. The analysis you provide is at a higher level than most in North America, not just in sports, but in all sports. I'm wondering if Doyle
all
is actually
sports?
The one who wrote this. I did not go check the phone number against his phone number, but I'll have to do that after this
wow.
show. He says he was surprised that we all picked Seattle to win this, and Seattle wasn't even close to being in it. In our post-game show, if you watched it on MLS Cup Central, we suggested Seattle played awful, which was true. Fair point, he says. But do you not think this was more about being beat by a more determined and better prepared side than just being bad? Toronto was just properly set up, executed well. Seattle, overwhelmed. Not that Seattle played so poorly as nothing was stopping Toronto, but Greg Vanney was 100% correct. They weren't prepared for the intensity of the final, given they sleepwalked through the West without any real opposition.
That's a cop-out.
What?
What's a cop-out?
Toronto were the better team.
He's saying that. That's exactly what he's
saying. I'm saying Greg Vanney, I think that was a masterstroke in the way he set up his team with the diamond. But I think if you would have played 3-5-2, the talent on the field would have been more than enough to beat that Seattle team. I know we've been talking about it for the past week, but watching the two teams on the field together really was something that just in person, it's clear that
it struck you. Toronto
it struck me that Toronto
team.
Was just a better team. Toronto,
right.
had, Toronto had the better players. I mean, if you go back and you look at the teams that Seattle beat in the playoffs, you know, they beat Vancouver. Vancouver's pretty one-dimensional in the way they won games this year. They won a lot of games. But you know what they're going to do in every game. They're not going to surprise you. Houston beat Portland.
Houston made it to the Western Conference Championship and then got rid of three quarters of their team.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Houston beat a Portland team that was missing half their players.
Yeah.
They were missing players as well in that series, and we talked
about
that.
Two 10-man games
from
Houston.
You can't compare that kind of their talent to what Seattle's talent was. It's just like up another level, and you can go back to what Vanney said a week ago saying – you know, I'm paraphrasing, but he said the West was easy. East was much harder.
Yeah. We haven't got the nitty gritty for you. We assume that you have that already, being that it is either Monday if you're listening on the pod, Tuesday on SiriusXM FC, Channel 85. A 2-0 win for Toronto FC. Josie Altidore scores the first in the 69th minute. He's the MVP of this game, though. Many people have said that Michael Bradley should have been MVP of this game.
I voted
well,
for
Michael Bradley.
He
only voted for that after he saw me tweet that during
yeah,
run play.
Uh-huh,
I'll put the screenshot
Ben,
out. It's it's in our Slack.
Ben the Amplifier Bear, is that
yeah.
what you're calling him?
I mean, it's fine. He's trying to build his brand, so he wants to piggyback, which is smart. It's what he should do at this point in his career.
Victor Vasquez got the second goal in this game, took off his jersey, showed it to the crowd, shook it. There's some incredible footage there. It's going to be a sick wrap-up video on MLSsoccer.com. Mm. We put out these kind of polished, incredible, slow-mo, $20,000 camera videos that I always watch and like get goosebumps from because I remember being there. I'm not going to have that this time around. So
with
I get to experience
classical
it
music
for
in the
first time. Yes, it's going to be
sweet.
Because
we know it's always a
super slow-mo, baby.
Let's shout out a guy, Abner, set us for that.
We do.
We also have to shout out Dan Dickinson because one Extra Time Radio special guest did pick the right team.
But it felt like – that feels like an obvious choice from at that point. Like it's a win-win across the board.
Dan is
Everybody
very much
a – away team And he's like, wait, this is the greatest team of all time, and you guys are all going against them?
Yeah.
Like, plus I'll just lean into this one.
Plus, he's a contrarian. Plus, he had the right cocktail recipe as well. Dan Dickinson had a very good week on that.
Look, we're going to get to David Gossin just a little bit. Jozy Altidore had an epic celebration speech at this parade today, which looked pretty epic. Lots of epic in here, obviously. I can't find
another
word.
Was it epic?
It might have been epic.
Oh, okay.
Let's talk a little bit about the tactical side of things, because you alluded to it, Ben. Mm-hmm. Toronto FC switched it up. They've been that three-man, five-man back line, 3-5-2, whatever you want to call it, wing backs, getting forward, bombing down the lines all season long, although they have switched a little bit. He's been tactically flexible, which he's been known to be.
I'm going to guess 28 of 34 games.
Something
in
like
season,
that. Predominantly that formation, that tactical identity. Then the lineups come out, Doyle, and we're on set with Dax McCarty, Aiko Parra, and we're all middle of the show. We've prepped for the 3-5-2. Everybody's expecting the 3-5-2. Seattle Sounders probably expecting the 3-5-2 as well, and it's not. It's the 4-4-2 diamond, and it worked.
Yeah.
It really, really worked.
The biggest aspect of it was that the diamond pulled Delgado on one side and Osorio on the other side in tight and closer to Bradley, which is exactly what you need to do against the Sounders when they play with two inverted wingers, which is what Ladero and Rodriguez are. So anytime those guys tried to come inside and flood central midfield, it was like running into a brick wall. They weren't able to string anything together. And you combine that with the fact that they just were kind of lacking intensity and they weren't sharp on the day. And, getting back to Vandy's comments, maybe, the kind of stroll through the Western Conference playoff did them a disservice. All those things combined to make Vanny's move to go to a diamond a stroke of genius. And I am super disappointed in Brian Schmetzer, because anytime you see a diamond out there, you say, oh, well, we got to get some width. And he never did anything to create width on that field. Like, I understand Victor Rodriguez is your DP attacking signing, but like, he's not doing anything.
I believe Tam, just to...
Right, sorry.
Definitely
regardless, but he came out and said this was our best attacking lineup.
Yeah.
And your best defensive lineup was with Nuhu, and Jovan Jones is arguably a more effective attacker on the wing. Strictly on the wing, I'm not saying overall, but from a wide position.
And if you have Jones on the wing, then Delgado on that wing has to go out and meet him. He has to go out to the touchline, otherwise you risk Steven Banisher getting overrun at right back. And just pulling Delgado out of central midfield means suddenly Ladero, Dempsey, maybe Roldan pushing up, all these guys get more room to work. Brian, that's the most obvious adjustment you can make. It's the most obvious adjustment you can make. And Schmetzer never did it. It makes no sense. They were unprepared. And I've seen a lot of Seattle fans. I mean, look, Brian Schmetzer is... his job security is fine, and he's done a great job in 18 months, but utterly disappointed in the performance of their head coach after that one, and they are right to be.
After this game, if you were watching MLS Cup Central, you saw a clip with Chad Marshall. During all the celebrations for Toronto FC, of course, there is the sad side, and that's the Seattle side. Last year, I was on the field as they celebrated with their fans, and they were jubilant, and it was incredible, and you get goosebumps, and I'm sure you had those as well this time around, Ben, but Chad Marshall is reaming out everybody he walks, he's yelling at Gonzalo Pineda, who's now an assistant coach for this team. He is just screaming. And that's not a guy who screams. That's not a guy, if you talk to people who know him or if you've been around him, that is one of the famously kind of intense and angry players, leaders, what have you. He's a big teddy bear, in the words of Dax McCarty. Mm-hmm. This one just kind of left him grasping for something, anything.
I didn't see this. I didn't see the show. I was watching the TFC celebrations going down in the locker room.
You were working.
I was working. Dedication. I was working.
What was the feeling that you got in stadium from Sounders players, coaches, faithful?
Well, I was on the TFC. I was on TFC the whole way.
Well, what are you good
for
then?
But I mean, it was shocking to me. First of all, it was shocking when the lineups came out. TFC went to the diamond. I was trying to figure out what they were going to do. I thought, clearly Jozy was going to try and get out to the right. They flip balls over the top, which they did a little bit. They were trying to compact. Basically, if you look back on it, they were going to try and do what Columbus and New York did to them, almost, and just clog the middle and not let anything go through them. not let Dempsey or Lodeiro get any space.
Both
in the
of which were very, very anonymous in this game.
Yeah, and then, yeah, extremely. Lodeiro only had 70 touches. That was his third fewest he's had in a game this season. His fewest game this season was 69.
I don't think he had a single good touch.
I was going to say, that's the point here. Everybody's talking about, the tactical side of things. Like, Seattle just played bad.
Yeah,
first touch is off.
That was something I said to
give the ball away. Christian Roldan, out of position. Gustav Svensson just having to hack dudes down as they run
by. That
was
something I said to Kurt, like, 25 minutes in. I was like, just look at all these touches Seattle are just muffing. Like, I was counting. It was like 5 or 6 within the first 25 minutes that their first touch was off. I mean, at halftime, we were all pretty convinced that Smetcher was going to pull Rodriguez and put in Nuhu, and he just never did. And I mean, when you're watching the game, you're like, you're thinking 30 minutes in, there's going to be a goal here any second now. What is Brian Smetcher doing? That's 30 minutes in. He doesn't make himself until 67th minute. It was shocking.
Meanwhile, Jozy Altidore does what he does in this postseason in big games overall outside of Kuva. Probably saying that for a long time, but yeah, he gets the goal in this game. He kind of hanging out behind the back line as the ball goes downfield, just waiting for that opportunity. Seattle give the ball over as they did often on the top of the box, and then it almost felt like a volleyball rally over the top. It was like dink, 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 skip line, skip line, skip line, skip line. Sebastian Jovinko gets the ball facing goal with tons of space, and here comes Jozy curling his run around. There were questions about offside. There's a lot of people blowing us up saying VAR, video review, should have come into play here. It didn't. He got in behind, left-footed dink, goal, and at that point, shut it down. I think everybody knew it was over.
I'm told by reliable sources in Kansas City that Nelson Valdez felt like that goal was onside.
Wow.
By the way, my brother was blowing me up after this one. I was like, where's video review? He's like, but actually, you know what? We got screwed by the Sounders last year. So,
you know what's funny is like no one was talking about that in the press box because I think –
It was just such a commanding performance.
Yeah, it was just such a dominating performance. Like, no one really.
Well, fake news and all. So
no one really, like, we were all, I think, pretty. Toronto was a way better team. So there
but
was, it, they were going to get
also,
a goal eventually.
It also wasn't a clear and obvious error.
Yeah. It
was. You know, it didn't meet that threshold. And just to get back to the buildup, it was a great buildup from Toronto. But also, if you look back at it, the defensive reactions from Roldan and Svensson are non-existent. They're non-existent. They weren't even chasing shadows. They were just standing there, letting themselves get split. And I don't understand. Look, I killed Brian Schmetzer a minute ago. Let me kill the players here. They did not look up for it in these crucial game-defining, really season-defining moments. And it was bizarre because that's not the Sounders team that we've seen for the last 18 months. I mean, yeah, they took the first half of this regular season off, but as soon as it came to like mid-July, once they got down 3 against DC United, flicked the switch, and you know they've been arguably the best team in the league since then. And I don't know why that stopped. Other than, I mean, obviously you take the hat off to Toronto FC. It was a case of them playing excellent soccer, but Seattle was never going to stop them.
One thing that our guy Charlie Boehm noticed, and I kind of noticed it too throughout the week, you thought that Toronto were tight through the interview process through that whole week.
It feels like a complete misnomer.
I know. I'm getting to my point here.
Get there.
You thought we were thinking they look so tight. Seattle was out at training every day. They looked really loose. They were just having fun, cracking jokes, and maybe we can get back to the intensity portion. Maybe Toronto would just. Instead of being tight, they were just so focused on the goal, they were just intense. And, you know, they did have that looseness a little bit, but they were just so intense, and maybe Seattle were, like, we're just happy to be here almost after last year.
Maybe they think we have one already. This would be icing on the cake. Either way, Toronto FC, deserving winners. Very, very deserving winners. They get the victory in MLS Cup 2022, 2-0 against the Seattle Sounders. They win the treble, 69 points in the regular season, 20 wins. CCL is still ongoing for them.
Did you just say MLS Cup 2022?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah.
Just 22. I'm skipping all the way ahead.
He's still looking forward to the next
World Cup. Are you a time traveler?
I can't tell you.
Andrew, who's the president in 2022?
I can never tell you. That's a question that just breaks my heart. We will get to more from David Goss in just 1 second. He was at the parade, but I have to play this clip. This is Jozy Altidore doing Jozy things at the celebration.
Let's spare a moment for our rivals. Because, listen what they're saying. Listen,
the second best again. And we got the treble. Oh! 4-1 Derby champs. Oh! Toronto FC, maybe best team ever.
Okay, best team of all time, guys. He is in a spot. What's he been doing for the last couple days? Let's just let Josie tell you.
Listen, I just want to let you guys know that I've been partying since Saturday. And baby, I'm TFC till I die.
Josie Altidore is feeling it. Toronto FC are feeling it. Ontario is feeling it. The 22nd champions in Major League Soccer's history. Congratulations to them. Congratulations to Captain Michael Bradley, who accomplished what he came to Toronto to do, and that whole organization. From trash to class, Toronto FC, your champions in 2017. We're going to go to break. On the other side, the silly season. Oh, it has begun.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
We are the champions.
Radio driven by Continental on MLSsoccer.com and Sirius XMFC Channel 85. The offseason, well, it began before MLS Cup, but really when that final whistle blew, guys. We're off and running. Nothing is slowing this down. It is a runaway train. It's draft after draft after draft, waiver, reentry, expansion draft going down on Tuesday. By the way, there's a live show. Myself, Doyle, Ali Curtis, the former Red Bulls GM. You may know him from, well, you know, why did you fire Mike Petke? That's where you probably remember him in large part, but also all the moves he made for them to bring them to a Supporters Shield championship. Free agency begins at 3 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday. We've got the list for you. We'll talk about that in a second. Wednesday's a waiver draft. Friday's reentry one, stage one, and then December 21st, the Thursday before Christmas, is reentry draft, stage two. Let's start with something big picture affecting every single team in the league, guys. Targeted allocation money, TAM. That vaunted acronym that helps you go out and sign big-name players for less than they might otherwise hit on the salary cap. Everything trickles down from that in MLS right now. It arrived in 2015. We knew that every team was going to have $1.2 million in TAM per season here. And now we find out from MLS that they've added $2.8 million in discretionary TAM in 2018 and 2019. What does that mean? It means teams can choose to spend up to $2.8 million in TAM. That comes out of their pockets, their coffers, their wallets. That's not money coming from the league. So owners got to pony up. That's what the deal is here. Another note from this, you could pull your $1.2 million in TAM from 2019 forward to 2018. So technically, you could have, like, oh, what would it be?
5.2 in TAM.
Yeah, for 2018, which I would more expect, than the salary cap.
Which I would expect the vast majority of teams to do that.
Assuming that there may be another...
Yeah,
TAM.
Yeah, assuming
injection.
You know, there could be, you know, they can come around next year and they'll have a board of governors meeting next year and they'll be like, get some more TAM in here.
Yeah, that works. Let's bring it again. Minimum salary budget on TAM, the hit that you can pay down is $150,000. The max is $1.5 million. So it's not the David Villas, the Jovinkos, the Michael Bradleys, the Josie Altidores of the world. It is the Luciano Castos, the Leandro Gonzalez Perez's, Brad Guzan, Ola Kamara, Steve Birnbaum, Benny Failhaber, Dax McCarty, Mauro Diaz, Kyle Beckerman, Dom Dwyer, Diego Rubio, Liam Ridgewell, that sort of player. All extremely good players, players that raise the level on their teams. Another note here, that discretionary TAM that you purchase with $2.8 million, that can't be traded. So you can only trade the 1.2. That is tradable TAM. And GAM and TAM can't be used at the same time. If you buy a DP down with TAM, you got to fill that DP spot with a player investment of equal or greater value. The rules are at MLSsoccer.com. Acquaint yourself with them. We will try our best to explain it to you every time something goes down. Big picture, Doyle. What does this mean? It's pretty obvious.
I mean, most important thing here that I think everybody's trying to figure out is – is discretionary TAM or is TAM injection a better name for a Britpop indie band from, let's say, the late 80s, early 90s. I think I saw Tam Injection open at the Hacienda for the Happy Mondays in 91. That was a great show. That was a great show.
Okay. Yeah. If you have Tam-related, GAM-related, acronym, MLS-related fake band names, oh my God, we are here for that. We are so.
It's gonna be a long, silly offseason.
We are so here for that.
What's it mean? It means the league is very serious about giving the owner, the aggressive ownership groups who want to spend and want to increase the level of play, the means to do that. And obviously, that is its own reward. But let's not beat around the bush here. It's Liga MX. This is all right, guys. Go out and get what you need to start winning CONCACAF Champions League and, you know, dropping a pointing a flag in the ground and saying, this is the best team in North America. That's what this is about.
And if you can use TAM to get, oh, let's just dream here, 20 more Victor Vasquez's, like any team that doesn't have a productive or at least could be productive number 10, number 9, attacking wing, like you don't really have excuses other than your own scouting and misidentification,
right?
Because
right.
You now have the resources to go out and get those.
What
guys.
I've been thinking of it as is, you know, just to make it easy on everyone without getting into, we can get into the nitty gritty of how the budget works and how it's going to work going forward. But basically, instead of having five guys above the DP budget charge, which is around, it's going to be around 500,000 next year. Instead of having five of those players on, if you're a spending team, you're going to have 8, 9, 10 of those types of players on your team next year.
Yeah.
I mean, your whole starting 11 is going to be reshaped. I mean, that may not happen in this window, in this winter window, because it's a mid-season in Europe, mid-season in a lot of other leagues around the world. So you may not be, there may not be as much movement. But what I think you're going to see by August is that if you look back to, you know, the end of your starting 11 at the end of the last year, and if you're a good team, you're keeping a lot of that core going forward. Even with that, you're still going to see a huge turnover in your starting 11 because you're going to see tons of new players come into this league, or even, you know, players that you expect maybe to leave this league to get a raise.
Yeah,
because you can use that money now to take a guy who is making 300,000, let's say, bump him up to 600,000-700,000, and then use him to buy that budget charge.
Justin Miram is a great example of this.
Yep.
Justin Miram is a guy who got a big raise off this, and now is the 700 region. You're also looking at a guy like Lee Wynn. He got it. Darlington Nagby was one of those players. As I said, Steve Birnbaum, Dax McCarty, Benny Failhaber was one, Diego Chará. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different ways to use this, and we will continue to see that happen. But as Ben said, it will be interesting to see how it works in the January window versus the summer window, because you don't really have – you don't know where the players that you want are going to be available. Victor Vasquez is an outlier. Like, let's be real here. I can sit around and say, oh, let's hope 20 teams get a Victor Vasquez.
Look at what – well, first of all, Chris Mavinga is a TAM player as well, I believe, and there's also – Yamil Assad, Leandro Gonzalez Pires. Like, there are a lot of good TAM players the last couple of years. And I think in particular, this will allow MLS teams to go down into Latin America and compete dollar for dollar with Liga MX for guys of that caliber. And we see it. I mean, Ben is the world's biggest Atlas fan, or Tigres fan, rather.
Atlas?
Yeah, sorry. I know you got the Rafa Marquez shirt in your closet.
Big win on Sunday night.
But, I mean, you know how well they've done over the – I mean, Gignac, but from Europe.
Gignac
but like,
is out, yeah.
Right, but, like, how well they've done in getting guys at that level, that maybe 600,000 to 1.4
million level. They sold Guido Pizarro, who's a defensive midfielder.
Right.
They brought in a guy from Brazil, Rafael, to play D mid. I don't know what, you know, I don't know how much he's making. I would bet that he would be in that TAM range.
Right.
And he's a special player. He's going to be sold to Europe soon in a couple of years.
And this is where Liga MX has traditionally been so much better than MLS at finding these guys in Argentina, in Brazil, in Chile, in Peru, and so on.
Colombia. Money talks. Money talks. It comes down to that.
Ecuador, and Ener Valencia, when he first came to Liga MX, he wasn't high wage.
Gotta pay if you want these guys to come in. That's TAM. Let us know what you think. 401-206-0MLS. That is the Hot Take Hotline. You know how to get at us. Text, call, hit us up on email, MLSsoccer.com. Okay, let's jump to the trade window. You might not have known this. From Sunday, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, there was a trade window, basically to let teams get ready for the expansion draft, protected lists, and the like. So, hey, you need to make a move, you need to get compliant, you need to move some pieces around, a la Sporting Kansas City, trading for a retired player in Kenwin Jones to make sure that you can get through this in the right way. Okay, you've got 4 hours to do it. And Sometimes trade windows in the past have been boring, like snore fests. This was not that. I was sitting down, Cam Russell on my lap, joining me for his first ever MLS trade window, just banging out
tweets.
Was
that a special father-son moment?
It was an extremely special one.
Were you watching KU lose at the same time? Because I know they took a couple.
That's me just unable to get the words out. It's a tough time right now for us Jayhawks fans. But it was lit. So DC United was in business here. They go to NYCFC. They send 75K in GAM and a 2018 international spot to the blue side of New York for Frederick Briant, who is a TAM center back, a veteran. David Casper said, hey, we're looking for a veteran. They also acquired Darren Maddox. Hold on.
Oh, sorry.
Freaking hold your horses here.
I'm just so juiced.
I know, you are. They also acquired Darren Maddox from Portland for a 2018 international roster spot. Maddox, they were trying to bring him back, but it probably wasn't going to happen. So they got something for him at the time. What do we make of DC's moves? I'll have the floor now.
Oh, sorry. So Briant makes, you know, in that TAM range, is he worth it? I don't know.
He's a third. He's a third center back. Why are you even on this show, Ben?
We can say
you
he's a third.
You don't know if Frederick Briant is a TAM center back?
We believe he's a third center back, but also you have to look at what he did down the stretch after Maxime Cheneau got injured for NYC. You know, they took a little bit of a dip in their defensive performances. He still led them to the second best, helped to get them to the second best record in the league.
So you also have Apare, and then you also have Birnbaum in that center back core
right
now.
Jalen Robinson as well.
He's going to battle Apare and Robinson for the starting spot next to
Birnbaum. I mean, Darren
still has to step his game up.
Deshaun Brown is on the he's not protected.
Right.
You would assume that both of those guys would not be on the roster next year, which makes you believe that Darren Maddox will be.
I guess so. I mean,
Deshaun Brown got his absent decline, so I don't think he's going to be back.
Yeah, I mean, he was on a lot of money for a guy of his pedigree, and I guess DC wants a bunch of forwards who don't really finish. I mean, I don't.
This is
giving away international slots left and right.
This is all part of what we just talked about.
They don't
about.
Need international spots.
But
they never use international spots.
This is all what we just talked about. You're going to see, just because they have Patrick Mullins and Darren Maddox doesn't mean they're not going to go out and get a forward.
Right.
They have enough TAM
money
to work under the budget.
It does if they don't
have
enough international slots.
The point is that three years ago, if you had Patrick Mullins and Darren Maddox, you're probably going to go into the season with those as your with those two guys.
Yeah, it's not like
your
that
forward.
Anymore.
It's not like that anymore.
But look, it's nice to see. I'm down to watch Darren Maddox and hopefully another forward with him running with Paul Ariel on the break. With Zoltan Stiber in that zone doing whatever he does. I mean, it's early days for DC. They still got more work to do. Minnesota acquired Harrison Heath from Atlanta for a fourth rounder in 2019.
Shock move.
That's a throwaway trade
for sure. How do you think they scouted him?
The Heath's getting back together here, has another opportunity to prove himself. Vancouver, Kai Kamara, this had been rumored. They grab him from the Revs for their 2019 first-rounder and a conditional second-round pick in 2020. Now, the note on this trade that is very important with Kai Kamara, he tweeted out, happy to go to the Caps, whatever. Hey, Revs fans, I loved you, but it just didn't fit here. It wasn't a fit for me or the team. There is a condition in here. If Kai is moved to another team prior to the roster freeze in 2018 or sold, like, they'll split the profits on the sell, and that 2020 conditional second-round pick would become the natural first-round selection in 2020. So, potentially two first-round picks. Kai Kamara to the Caps. I assume that this means that Freddie Montero is probably not coming back, I was assuming that anyway based on the number that Chinese club is paying him. What's this mean for them? They're the most direct team in league history?
They already pretty much were last year, and they got the kid Blondell, who led the Venezuelan league in scoring last year, and he looks the part, at least on paper, of a guy who should come into this league and succeed. But the Caps haven't had great luck with long-term success from their center forwards. You know, Octavio Rivero, and they had Camilo Sanvezzo, but they ended up
Masato Kudo.
Yeah, Masato Kudo.
He got injured.
Yeah, they ended up not being able to hold on to Camilo. So it feels like Kai is an insurance policy for Blondell at this point.
But they're saying he's going to occupy the designated player spot, which
he has to, unless you're going to spend a ton of TAM to buy him down. $500K in TAM, is it worth it?
You have $5.2 million in TAM.
Yeah, but you have three DP spots.
So go out and get another player.
Are we sure that Vancouver's the type of team that's going to use the discretionary TAM? Are they going to travel with the band? Are they going to travel with TAM injection TAM infusion for this the discrationary TAM tour?
Just a dirty old bus just making its way around the Pacific Northwest.
If you're a Caps fan and you're seeing Kai Kamara, who He had a great 2015, but he hasn't really been that good of a player the past two seasons. You're seeing that player take up a designated player spot. You only have one person to complain to, and that's going to be the person cutting the checks. Because, I would say that's not the player you want to see in a DP slot.
Jordy Reyna, that situation's interesting. He may or may not be back. We'll talk about that more if something is resolved down in Peru. Go Google his name if you want to find out what's going down with that one. He is a person of interest in a criminal case, which that could get interesting for the Whitecaps. LAFC, huge move. Maybe the biggest move of the day. We'll get to that in 1 second just to kind of keep you on the edge of your seat. Houston acquired Arturo Alvarez from Chicago for a second rounder in 2019. This is already going home. He wanted to go back to Houston. He's going. The price is pretty fair, I would say. Yep. And now some guys in Chicago get an opportunity to shine with him gone. Atlanta acquired LAFC's fourth-round pick in 2018 for an international spot. That smells an awful lot like Atlanta will not be getting a player chosen in the expansion draft on Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Stick around with us, MLSsoccer.com, YouTube, to watch that thing live. We'll have Bob Bradley, John Thorrington, LAFC making their choices live on the air. And they also picked up a starting center back. LAFC did. They got Walker Zimmerman from Dallas for $250,000 in GAM, $250,000 in TAM, and the number one spot in the allocation order. So Dallas gets $500,000 to spend, and they also have that number one spot. And you look around through that list, go to MLSsoccer.com for that. Who that might be, we'll speculate on that more in the coming weeks. But Walker Zimmerman, a young defender with a year left on his contract, a young defender who was pushing his way into the national team, a young defender who definitely fell out with Oscar Pereja last year.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that at all. I also don't think there's any doubt about Walker Zimmerman's talent. I mean, in terms of ceiling and upside, he is Aiko Parra-esque. He is a guy who could end up being the defender of the year. He is that good. And this is, if he lives up to that for LAFC, then this feels like a steal for them.
We have some somewhat breaking news here. If you follow Christian Dyer, he has been putting a lot of stuff out there recently. He's got some well-placed sources, apparently, at Christian R. Dyer on Twitter. He says, hearing from multiple sources that Atlanta is looking to acquire Darlington Nagbe. If a deal would go through, I'm told it would be for an amount that would have to eclipse Dom Dwyer's fee to Orlando earlier this year. Well, by the way, that looks like a better deal for Orlando now with all this TAM than it did prior.
Yes, it does. And the Dax McCarty trade looks worse for the Red Bulls than it did. But I had heard earlier in this postseason, I guess, and now into the silly season, that Nagbe was being shopped. But I had also heard that the Timbers weren't happy with the offers they were getting and had kind of pulled him back. I mean, if they end up getting $1.7, $1.8 million worth of allocation money for him, I think that's something they got to do. It just feels like the book has maybe been closed on Darlington Nagbe in Portland. The ceiling's not going to get any higher for him there.
We will talk about that more if and when it goes down. Hot Take Hotline is open, 401-206-0MLS. We do have a text from someone asking about Caleb Porter and potential replacements in Portland. We'll get to that in just 1 second. Before we get to the free agency list here, guys, let's talk expansion draft. Who are some of the targets that we're looking at? A lot of people are hitting us up with that question. The rules are simple here. LAFC gets 5 picks. They can only make 1 pick per team. So if you have a player chosen, your team is done. Right. All those other guys are now protected. Teams can protect 11 players. You can see those lists at MLSsoccer.com. Homegrowns, Generation Adidas, auto-protected, and you got to protect players with a no-trade clause. Ozzie Alonso had a cryptic message for the Sounders after he was left unprotected, guys. I hate it when people use you for what they want. Then they just push you aside like you're nothing, but they keep you close just in case they need you for something, which is like straight off of a 14-year-old girl's meme blog. No offense. No offense to Ozzy. That's pretty – I mean, it was pretty angsty. He retweeted a bunch of folks, Seattle fans, you know, supporting him. Ozzy Alonso, an absolute legend. Don't get me wrong. The Honey Badger is a legend in MLS.
For my money, he's the
– and with Seattle.
The best – defensive midfielder in league history. And his body of work over the past 10 years, he's won everything. He's been best 11 justifiably. I think you could have argued him maybe as MVP a couple of times.
And I think you can look at this title game and say, boy, were they missing somebody with at least the attitude and the
bite attitude, yes,
and the desire to bring his teammates along with
play
him.
Well, this year he's over 25,000 professional minutes at this point. He's going to turn 33 next year. He's on it's a DP contract, but it'll be a TAM level contract next year. Like this is he's not a guy who's going to be high on anybody's list as a acquisition in the expansion draft. If you're counting on more than 2,000 minutes from Ozzie Alonso next year, you're.
I want to drill down on this point. What is an attractive player for LAFC? Because in the past, we've seen this not be a draft used to pick up contributors. If you look at last year's 10 picks, just four played for their teams, and they didn't play huge roles, I would say, other than Shuttleworth and Alec Kahn. I mean, Colin Warner, yeah, he was like a rotation player for Minnesota United, but most of these picks were flips. So, like, Donny Toya was traded for a first-round pick. Clint Irwin was basically to hold Mark Bloom and allocation money hostage. Chris Duvall, Johan Venegas, Mohamed Saeed, he played a little for Minnesota. Then he got flipped in that Josh Gott, Cronin, Birch deal. Atanella, that was for the rights to Miguel Ibarra. So this is like an allocation, or excuse me, this is a, you know, you're trying to pick up assets.
Who are LFC looking for? Players that other teams want.
Yeah. And believe me, teams are calling them saying, we want this guy.
Since this list was announced, the protected and unprotected list at 6 p.m. on Sunday night, I'm sure LAFC have been fielding calls basically nonstop saying, go and pick this player and then we'll trade you this for that.
I think there's a good chance that like Saad Abdul-Salam is maybe the first one who comes to mind.
If you look last year, the two guys at Atlanta or the two guys that were picked, I don't know, forgot if it was Atlanta or Minnesota, Donny Toya and Chris Duvall, outside backs, cheap outside backs who can do a job, play 2,000 minutes.
Right.
And that's something maybe we can see.
But I want to make. I feel like there is some exciting kind of youngish talent available in this one. One being Raheem Edwards. I know he takes up an international roster spot for LA. But if I'm LAFC, I take Raheem Edwards and I slot him in at left back, and you'll live with the young player mistakes because we saw how dynamic he could be moving forward for Toronto FC. So that's one. And the other one is Yamil Assad. Yamil Assad is unprotected. Now, granted, his loan is over, so technically he's going back to Vélez Sarsfield, but they hate him at Vélez Sarsfield. The fans booed him out of that team, basically, which is why he was so happy to go to Atlanta, and the player we saw in Atlanta was
You could build your midfield around
a DP-caliber player. So if you're Bob Bradley and you have the chance to get, you know, Carlos Vela on one wing and Yamil Assad on the other wing.
It's like, hey, you had a great year in Atlanta, man. Why go back to Argentina? We'll pay you.
Right.
Come to L.A. We got a brand-new stadium.
Who doesn't want to go to L.A.?
It's a new project.
But that brings us back to that trade, the fourth-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
For an international roster,
feels a little handshaky.
Yeah,
feels fishy.
A little bit backroom. Then I want to make one point. There are other types of guys as well, in terms of locker room glue guys, and two in particular, Richie Marquez, who's regarded very well
in the Philadelphia
locker room, and he was a starter for a couple of years before having a bad year this year. But he's I think he's an MLS lifer. He's not necessarily going to be a starter, but his contract isn't prohibitive. And the other one is Hector Jimenez, who is one of those guys who is, you know, fluent in both English and Spanish, and he is the type of guy who kind of knits locker rooms together.
Spent a lot of time in L.A. too.
Spent a lot of time in L.A. as well. Those are two guys I would strongly consider.
Some other names I'll throw out there, and feel free to chime in here, Ben, at any time. The floor is – we'll share the floor.
I'm going to take something that I was talking to Nate Laux, former MLS employee, on Twitter last night.
Yep.
He was bringing up the point that maybe they should pick players maybe who are leaving the league this year and could come back later, because then they'll have the rights to those players. For example, Jovan Jones, Bill Hamid, those types of players.
Oh.
And just
taking
away the rights from Seattle and D.C.
Interesting. I'm going to throw some names out there, possibilities here. I think a guy like Kerry Shelton, if Bob thinks that maybe at a cheap hit here, he can turn that guy into like a third forward, just a sub off the bench where he was so successful at NYCFC. And that, I think Saad Abdul-Salam is probably going to get taken in this draft, because you look at the outside backs in this league and how productive he was in his rookie season. Dylan Powers is a guy that I think other teams could sniff around and say, hey, we could use him. Or Bob could say he could do a job for me as a third midfielder.
They could also get him in re-entry.
That's the thing. Like, they'll have the first pick in the
right. Yeah, I don't know. Look, I'm throwing in Josh Williams, maybe. Maybe Caressi would give you something for him to be back in that central defensive role. Gideon Ba, I don't know if he's healthy. Dax McCarty sang his praises over and over in this studio. So a lot of question marks there. I threw out some free agent names on Twitter, and I said, hey, folks, let us know who you would want. By the way, that opens at 3 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday. That's when those guys can start being courted. Let's see. Rapids Rabbi says you get De La Garza and Beasley. That would be a hell of a defense. You're already halfway there. Timbers fans out here, Timbers Las Vegas, saying he'd take Raimondo. And they've been burned by him. They'd love to have him. Caprice Boy for NYC, Bobby Boswell, De La Garza, Alan Gordon, defensive depth, leadership, and a different forward option. Quakes fans want Beta Shore to come home. RSL fans saying Jordan Harvey, maybe Alan Gordon. NYC, maybe Brad Evans. Eric Alexander to Chicago, Bearded Jack. That was an interesting one, I thought, to reunite with Dax. If you look at these list of names, it's a mixed bag in some ways of the free agents. Notable names, Drew Moore's in there. I expect him to come back to Toronto FC.
Kurt,
I expect Kurt Beta Shore.
Saying Moore is going to be back.
I expect Beta Shore to be back as well.
I mean, that one I would expect as well.
Although Hassler can come in, Raheem can, if he doesn't get taken in the expansion draft, could be there. Jordan Harvey's interesting.
They have Ovin Elseth, who played four games for them this year.
Andrew Jacobson is interesting. Jeff Lorenowitz, I'd be shocked if he doesn't go back to Atlanta. I think their current teams can give them more money than teams they go to outside of it. Javi Moe is here again. Chris Seitz, if you need a backup or starting goalkeeper, he could be there. You got the vets looking for a last go. Bobby, Rico Clark, Brad Evans, Patrick Narco. Beckerman is not on this list. So that means RSL certainly locked him up. They also protected him. So that's kind of a breath of fresh air for RSL.
When you look at the list, it's all just guys who if you've had not a great locker room over the last season, you want to, have a better locker room going this season, there's a lot of guys on this list that can do that job, can play 1,000 minutes, can
like
play
even,
1,500
minutes. Even with a busted ACL, you take AJ De La Garza and you put him in your locker room and you're going to improve. Yeah. He's that
just a matter of what the money is.
Yeah.
Eric Alexander is the name that I see that kind of stands out, maybe a guy who can play.
I would like to see
him
with RSL because they have a good energetic number 8 in Luke Mulholland. They don't have a guy who is a quality sort of distributor of the ball, and that's what Eric Alexander is.
Hit us up, 401-206-0MLS. We're going to be talking silly season all off season long. We want you to be a part of it. We're going to go to break right now. On the other side, the mailbag and hot take hotline.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
I used to rule the world, seas would rise when I gave the word. Now in the morning I sleep alone. Sweet.
Back now on Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental. I am Andrew Wiebe. I am in the green room with King of Takes, Ben the Research Bear, the armchair analyst, Matt Doyle, rolling through the hot take hotline in the mailbag here, 401-206-0MLS. I have to slow myself down because it's part of my brain at this point. I can just spit it out so quickly. I couldn't even tell you, my girlfriend's phone number or any of my family's phone number, but I know the hot take hotline. You can also email us. Extratime@mlssoccer.com. We've got some good stuff. We've got Ben just getting roasted in a little bit. CM Leota says, why didn't Seattle show up for the MLS Cup final? Was their plane delayed? Such a shame that TFC won by forfeit. There truly is no justice in the world. Seattle, get used to these jokes because, when you fall flat, this is what happens to you. Matthew, an expat in Toronto, now in Victoria, B.C., says, from a first-year TFC fan, it's amazing to think that after all the pain and all those lost seasons, we are now the standard by which all others will be judged. What a day. Too many legends to name. You front-runner at all here? First year you're going to be a TFC fan? Jump right on the bandwagon, man.
Yeah, he's clearly also a Cowboys fan, a Yankees fan, a Lakers fan. Yeah,
But he wasn't a Lakers fan for a while there, just when
title. No, he was a Laker fan from 1999 until 2011. Then he took off the last, 3 or 4 years, and I think he's back watching them again.
Now he's, waiting to see. He's I still got the gear on
the
back.
I will tell you this. I moved to Berkeley in 2011, and, I became a professional bandwagoner. I enjoyed those San Francisco Giants World Series victories. And, of course, I am the world's biggest Dubs fan, at least until they start to maybe age out of this dynasty era. And then I got my Celtics gear ready to go. And one thing I know I will never have to worry about is being a Knicks fan, because that team and their fans, the absolute worst.
Yep. Never going to win a title. Probably never going to be in contention.
Yeah, unicorn. Sorry.
Yeah, if you didn't know, Ben Bear, a big Knicks fan. Matt and Victoria, it's fine, man. This was a great year. We're just glad that you're into the league and you're into Toronto FC. Enjoy it. Yeah, there's a bunch of other fan bases that are like complaining about you and your experiences, and we gave you shtick right now, but they don't have what you have.
Right.
NMLS Cup, baby, in your first year.
Oh, I thought you were going to say inconsistent loyalties, because whoever wins next year, you can just be a fan of apparently.
Was he a Sounders fan last year?
No, probably not. BC. By the way, Whitecaps are like around the corner, but he doesn't like them because they don't play soccer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're going to get some tweets.
It's the offseason. The gloves are coming off, man. The gloves are coming off. They're going to, a lot of alley-oops next year to Kai Kamara.
Oh, my gosh.
Just saying.
They're the favorites in the dunk contest.
Wow. Perry in Portland says, so Dempsey's not on the pitch and the Sounders win. Dempsey's on the pitch and they lose. That's the way I like it. That is a salty Portland fan.
It is, and I understand it because Dempsey's killed them a number of times, but that was not a great performance from Clint. And it wasn't just that he was kind of stranded, like him and Will Bruin both got no service. But usually in the past, we've seen Clint kind of drop back and figure stuff out when his team's getting overrun in central midfield and become sort of that fifth real midfielder. And he didn't do that at all. Even when time after time, the Sounders...
Time after time.
You're going to break into some City Lapa like that.
Yeah, I
was surprised that Dempsey just didn't impose his will on the game at all. And not only getting on the ball, but Clint used to lay the wood on people.
Yeah, I just never felt his presence in this game.
Yeah. I expected him to clear out Michael Bradley at least once, and that did not happen.
He didn't show much at all. I mean, neither did the 10 other players.
But that's also, that you could just blanket the whole team with that, other than Stefan Fry. Which, by the way, we didn't mention Stefan Fry's heroics because it's kind of it's an afterthought in this game. You don't win, you don't get the kind of legendary status that comes with that. But he was great for the first 65 minutes.
It's an asterisk. I mean, literally, there were gasps. Every single save he made, we're not. Oh, the four or five great saves.
The one on Osorio was amazing. That is such a hard save, and he made it look easy.
And the one that Bradley stung one. There was another one we had to dive to his right. I can't remember who shot it, but those three or four saves were amazing. Yeah, I mean, the Sounders dropped off to 35 yards. Bruin and Dempsey didn't really put much pressure.
Regardless of the tactics, does this stick with the Sounders? We know the championship stuck with them. You kind of mentioned the hangover. Does this loss and this experience stick with this team?
I mean, we could still do the jokes about them having zero shots on target and the time they won and then looking completely dominated.
Well, let's look at it this way. Ben, you root for a lot of loser
dynasty
teams.
Dynasty status
the Jets, the Mets, the Knicks.
Wisconsin.
Like, these teams
are losers. Tigres.
These teams are loser teams. Does that losingness stick with them from one season to the next?
I wouldn't know because – I'm going to just dunk on myself here. I wouldn't know because they won one, so I don't know.
Oh, man. All over him. He just posterized himself right there. Matt in Portland, apparently all the Matts are hitting us up. He says, rumor is that Portland Timbers have chosen a new coach but not announced it yet. Need a guarantee here. Savarese, Mark Dos Santos, or fill in the blank. Does Steve Cherundolo, Guillermo Barros-Schelotto have a chance here?
Those are some really good names. And Barros-Schelotto is coaching Boca Juniors.
Yeah, in Copa Libertadores. Yeah. That ain't happening there. That's a great dream.
I think there's a chance. I really do think there's a chance. From everything I've heard, Scalotto wants to come back to Major League Soccer, which would be an amazing hire. So that could happen. I think what Dos Santos and Savarese did in NASL the last few years sort of speaks for itself. But I think my money's on Alessandro Nesta.
He did leave Miami. I mean, a lot of people had assumed it was his job in Montreal, and Remy Gard got that job.
Right. And from what I understand, he left Miami specifically because he wants to coach in MLS. And I don't think he would do that unless he had something, I'm not going to say lined up, but had an inkling that something would be available. And we've seen with having Tata Martino and having Patrick Vieira, it's not that these guys are necessarily better coaches than sort of the homegrown crop that we have here. But if you have a global... If you're globally recognized as a soccer person, the way Nesta and Vieira and Tata Martino are, it means you can go into Vélez Sarsfield or Independiente.
This kills me.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm gonna call it like the John Calipari effect.
Yeah,
You could just get into any living room you want to, and everybody listens to you, and everybody's like, it probably would benefit me if I went there.
Yeah.
That would probably work.
And teams in Europe, the big spending teams, if a player has the blessing of Patrick Vieira or Alessandro Nesta,
in my analogy.
Right,
right,
there you go.
Yep.
If they have the blessing of those guys who have global credibility.
Ben is banging his head against the wall right now, by the way.
You're more likely to sell that player for big money.
I'm shocked that the Kansas basketball fan is reeling against John Capera right now.
Oh, just so you know.
I'm shocked
for,
right now.
You root
shocked
for
right
Wisconsin
now.
Basketball? So just so you know, the NBA is a professional basketball league that quality college players can sometimes go to and play professionally. I understand being a Badger.
In one half in the NBA, often – teams score sometimes as much as 70 points.
Oh, 70?
I know the 70 point mark
is a number that comes. Wait, where does 70 come after?
Nice. It's like 30 more than 40. So for Wisconsin fans,
this is a great good job.
I know, sorry, inside jokes there. Stuff. Of the names on this list, I think Savarese is probably the most likely. But Nesta is a good shot. We will see what happens.
Metro Stars legends.
I don't expect them to spare.
Why do we think? We've been talking about these names for since Caleb left. If it was that obvious, if it was one of these names, I think they would have been done already. I
don't know.
I think it's going to be somebody that we're not thinking about.
Okay, that's your guarantee. That's your guarantee is fill in the blank.
I don't think it's any of the names that we've ever mentioned.
Wait, let me ask you this, just to be a little bit petty. If you were
petty?
If you were Merritt Paulson or like any owner in Major League Soccer, and you had a coaching vacancy, would you announce the coach you hired the week of MLS Cup just in order to take a little shine away from a rival in the Cup?
I mean, you'd probably try, but I think there might be some tisks on the way to you for that. But
I mean, there.
Why hurry? You want
Revs announced their coach. The Impact announced their coach.
The flip side is if he comes out there and does that, if Merritt Paulson does that, it's also like pointing out that you didn't make the game and that you're not
– that's fair.
You can't win the championship. So I don't know if it – like your pettiness might backfire for you on that. By the way, we would love to hear your pettiest moment of 2017 as it pertains to MLS. So 401-206-0-MLS. Anonymous in Miami got his petty moment in before we end the show. Sam Sejkal, greater than sign, Ben Bear. That is an equation I can get behind.
Wow.
That's a very straightforward equation. That's the theory of MLS hot take relativity.
Clearly, this guy has no idea what he's talking about. So there's not really any reason to address this because it's just so wrong.
And yet you are.
Because he is. Yeah, I'm not even going to address it because it's just
you know who would have addressed
it's just
that?
So wrong.
Sam Sejkal would have been able to address
Sam
that.
Sam Sejkal, who's been on the show what twice?
He's coming back for more.
We're just gonna bump him all the way up to like
Sam Sejkal
to that status.
Yeah, all the way up above you, Ben. Uh-huh. Wow, he's really climbing
he's
that ladder.
He's definitely a TAM signing. Let us know what you thought from this show. 401-206-0-MLS. The injection of TAM on tour right now in the Pacific Northwest and beyond. Free agency expansion draft coming up. LAFC grabbing Walker Zimmerman. Toronto FC, 22nd champions in league history. Congratulations to the Reds, top to bottom, from ownership all the way down to the folks selling tickets and doing whatever else you have to do to keep a club running. Those are all important people, and that place was packed and popping as they lifted the Philip F. Anschutz Trophy. Oh, and congratulations to Michael Bradley and Josie Altidore, who's maybe still partying?
Yeah, pretty much everybody in Toronto is, it seems like. Congrats to all of them. They earned it.
Yep. Devin Plouler, too.
Who?
Yeah. Good point. All right. That's it from us. We will see you later on this week, everybody. Enjoy it.